From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Araspeña with your state and local news updates. A dozen women have accused former Juneau area chiropractor Jeffrey Foltz of sexually abusing them under the guise of treating them for medical problems. He's currently out on bail and out of state. The district attorney for the case has asked repeatedly that Foltz be returned to Juneau while he awaits trial, but a judge has denied the request. As KTOO's Rasha McChesney reports, even though the criminal case against Foltz is ongoing, his former employers are taking steps to address how they handle sexual abuse allegations.
Jeffrey Foltz is facing 16 charges of felony sexual assault and one misdemeanor charge of harassment stemming from his time working for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium. That consortium provides health care and social services for Alaska Natives and American Indians under an agreement with the federal government. And most of Foltz's accusers are Alaska Native women. Since April, he has been in court three times, facing new accusations and new charges as more women come forward. Each time, State Assistant District Attorney Jesselyn Gillum asks that the court reconsider its decision to allow him to live out of state and unmonitored.
The concern that the state has is that the defendant has shown himself to be an individual that goes from Native community to Native community and seems to have a history of allegations such as this arise at multiple placements.
Foltz doesn't appear to have been charged in other places that he's worked, but according to court documents, he told a detective that he was accused of improper touching at a previous job. Gillum and the handful of Foltz's accusers who spoke in court during a July 12th hearing described him as an active threat to women and asked that he be returned to Juneau and monitored by the court. A woman referred to as CEL in court documents described him as a, quote, methodical predator.
The truth is that we will eventually have to face Mr. Foltz here in the court. But I can honestly say that the discomfort of possibly running into him at the store or anywhere here in Juneau is nothing compared to the thought of him running free in another state without the supervision and monitoring that needs to be in place.
Alaska Superior Court Judge Daniel Shalley denied that request for the second time. He said he thinks it's good for the women who are accusing Foltz of abuse to be separated from him.
Usually a geographical distance between alleged victims of crime and the alleged perpetrators of crime is a good thing. And given the number of folks involved in this matter, having Mr. Foltz elsewhere, I think, is the best course.
Neither Foltz nor his attorney, Natasha Norris, have responded to repeated requests for comment. But in court, Norris pushed back against the idea that Foltz's bail should be raised or that he should be required to move back to Juneau. She argued that he isn't likely to flee because his passport is sitting in her office. And she said he has put up enough money for bail.
My client has put up $40,000 of cash. He is about tapped out financially. That is a lot of money to put down on the line. My client is not going to run. My client is facing these charges head on.
She also asked that people remember that Foltz hasn't been convicted of anything. The charges are just accusations, and Foltz must be presumed innocent.
As compelling or heartfelt as some of these statements are, these are allegations at this point.
As Foltz's case is working its way through the court system, local and federal health organizations are moving to address it and a larger problem with handling sexual abuse allegations within the Indian Health Service. Over the last 20 years, Foltz appears to have primarily worked for the Indian Health Service, first in Arizona, then in New Mexico, and finally in Alaska. And he is the latest in a string of Indian Health Service medical providers who have been accused of workplace abuse. It's something the service's parent agency acknowledged late last year continues to be a challenge. In Juneau, Foltz worked for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium, or SEARCH, for 7 years. A SEARCH spokesperson wrote in an email that the organization removed him from the workplace in late April after getting patient complaints. She said the consortium is reviewing its policies with its managers and that all employees are now going through additional training to address sexual assault, harassment, and offensive behavior. Earlier this year, the Indian Health Service started a hotline for callers to report sexual abuse. That number is 1-855-SAFE-IHS or visit ihs.gov. Those complaints can be anonymous. In Juneau, people can call AWARE at 907-586-1090. Foltz's next hearing is September 8th. In Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
A two-year project aimed at honoring Alaska's veterans in Hoonah is finally complete. KTOO's Bridget Dowd reports.
A few hundred people sat for 5 hours in the rain on Saturday. They came to witness the raising of a totem pole honoring the community's servicemen and women. There are a lot of veterans in Hoonah. At least 10% of the population has served in the military, one of the highest numbers per capita in the country. Even before Alaska was a state, many Alaskan natives stepped up to fight for the United States.
All you men and women that have stepped forward, we have tried to honor you the best we could with our hands and our tools.
That's local artist Gordon Greenwald, who designed and carved the totem pole. He's not a veteran himself, but he wanted to pay tribute to those who've served.
Kunishchish, may our hands do you justice. Thank you.
The base of the pole honors the fallen soldier, moving upward carvings of combat boots from Operation Desert Storm, a Vietnam-era M16 rifle, and a World War II helmet. Toward the middle are carved dog tags representing each branch of the service, including the Alaska Territorial Guard, and a Tlingit warrior dressed in armor.
And on the top are the eagle and raven. Now you notice that the eagle and raven are turned slightly back to back. It's not the cold shoulder, but all you military veterans know I've got your back, buddy.
Veteran commanders traveled from Sitka, Juneau, and Cake to join those from Hoonah. William, or Ozzy, Sheikley, was the MC.
I'm the commander for Juneau Vets, so they asked me to MC over here since I've been doing it for a while.
He says it was nice for everyone to be together again after a year of putting the celebration on hold.
The carver finished last summer, but we weren't ready to put because of the COVID. We wanted to put up when it's mostly all clear.
When there was a break in the ceremony for lunch, Sheikley caught up with Hoonah Veterans Commander James Lindoff Jr.
We're up with Wasala, 98. They got a wall. I told my cousin, he passed on. I told him, we'll get ours, we'll get our own, which we are.
Lindoff was in Vietnam in 1967 and 68. He joked with me as it started to drizzle again.
Here comes rain. You know how to do the rain dance?
I don't.
No? What's your name again?
Bridget.
I gotta lose my curls now.
And that rain didn't hinder anyone's ability to appreciate the weight and joy of the occasion. The project is a collaboration between the City of Hoonah, the Hoonah Heritage Foundation, the Hoonah Veterans Committee, and Hoonah Clan representatives. The land was donated by Korean War veteran Stanley, or Steamy, Thompson, who passed away in April. His wife, Judy Thompson, spoke on his behalf.
Steamy was born and raised in Hoonah, and he was very proud to be from Hoonah. He was very proud to be of his heritage. He was very proud of his family, and he was very proud to be a veteran. And so that's why he wanted to dedicate this land to the Hoonah Heritage Foundation.
Hoonah Heritage Foundation Executive Director Amelia Wilson says the totem pole is just the first piece of what will eventually be Hoonah Veterans Memorial Park.
There will be a memorial wall honoring those Hoonah veterans who have passed on, and that'll be behind the totem pole. And then there will be some concrete work in the shape of a tanah, which is like a copper shield, and then it'll have some brass inlays, and then we'll have some native plants that will be used for landscaping around it to kind of enclose the space in a natural way.
Wilson said it felt good to be able to gather for something positive, because the few times they'd been able to recently were for funerals or the passing of loved ones.
I think in our community, and most other communities too, if you haven't served yourself, somebody in your family or in your social network has served. And so it's really something that can unite us, and it really showed at the event.
The land of the free,
reporting in Hoonah,
home of the brave.
I'm Bridget Dowd.
In statewide news, troopers say that two adult occupants of a plane that crashed in the Chugach Mountains north of Anchorage on Monday are dead. According to an online report, troopers were notified of an overdue plane yesterday around 8 p.m. and found wreckage of the plane near 11 p.m. On a phone call Tuesday, Trooper spokesperson Austin McDaniel said the wreckage was found in a steep, mountainous area of the Eagle River Valley in Chugach State Park. For more on this and other news, you can go to KTOO.org. This is KTOO News.